now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
Hi, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Dan Israel joining us on the program. Dan, it is 8-0. It is overtime. It is all of these things, but it is, I think, the Chiefs offense finding the best version of itself, and I think we can probably give a tip of the cap to DeAndre Hopkins for that. Boy, he is integrating.
The real deal.
He's integrating quickly. I think Danny's allowing Mahomes. Mahomes seemed like he was putting a little mustard on the ball last night, like we haven't seen him in a while. I think it looks like there's a trust factor there that he knows he can make those kinds of throws and Hopkins will go catch it.
Yeah, already, you know, the big play, the long play down the middle was a busted play. Hopkins ran the wrong route. Mahomes saw him take off and threw the ball. And he said when he threw the ball, he realized there were three defenders and only one of his guy, that it probably was going to end up as a bad situation. But we watched Hopkins just effortlessly take the ball from the sky. I mean, it was truly a contested catch. He had three guys around him, and yet somehow just made it seem effortless. Watching him, and look, I know we make a big deal about all how the size of his hands, and they're like suction cups. That's why this guy's had 12 years in the league, and it's man, it's fun to watch. I mean, the possibilities suddenly become almost endless.
Are we okay with Travis Kelce 16 targets? That feels a little too much to me. But he's, you know, he's had at least 9, I think, in 5 out of the last 6 weeks, something like that. Like, and I know they wanted to slow ramp him up. They've talked about it at length. He's talked about it. Is it too early for that? Or are we okay with that sort of target load for Kelce?
Well, I guess you need to define we, because I know Kelce was calling for the ball at the end of the game. He wanted more. But right. Career record number. That's an awful lot of touches. I think, you know, it's just going to be a game by game deal. I don't think you want to put that many miles on him every trip. But, man, it's fun to see these guys kind of come together and the possibilities of what they could do. I feel like they're helping each other. You know, I mean, we said it. Would Hopkins be a deterrent for defenses to say, hey, we can't just cover Kelce? And I think the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, and if you took away the deep ball, if you took away that bust, what we talked about there at the beginning, Hopkins looked to me like he was playing the role we saw Juju Smith-Schuster play 2 years ago and Rashee Rice play so well last year. Like, it looked the same to me. Third down, yeah. We saw how good Mahomes was on third down, but quick patterns, things to get the ball in his hand, let him make some moves and things after the fact. That's what it looked like to me. It looked like he is playing that role for the team right now.
Yeah, you know, and Worthy's got more to improve on here before he really comes into the mix. But I think when you see Juju Smith-Schuster come back and you've got Hopkins, now you've got three guys there that can all run. In particular, against Tampa Bay, they were a little bit soft in the middle. And so it really, I thought, from a game plan standpoint, they were able to take advantage of Kelce and D-Hop. But I think, you know, as we go down the road here through the month of November into December and into the playoffs and start getting guys back, you can kind of see how they're going to use these guys. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, 1 week DeHopkins has been a Chief, 1 full week as a Chief, and he seemed like he was right in there. And I know he said that Mahomes had to correct him on a couple of plays, but that's going to go away very quickly. And Mahomes made a comment about just how smart Hopkins is. I think you add that to Kelce's football IQ, to Smith's experience, Schuster Smith's experience. You know, Worthy's just got to watch these guys so that we can keep that deep threat, because his speed's unbelievable. But, you know, his field awareness was definitely suffering yesterday as he almost turned around and was running backwards. You know, how do you know where you're at when you're doing that? But he'll improve with that if he sticks with these guys and he watches these guys. He's got a lot he can learn from them.
Yeah, look, you brought up Worthy, and I'm glad to go to Tom and I in the, you know, kind of off the top. He came up, and Tom thinks I'm being too hard on him for being a rookie. And maybe there is PTSD from, you know, Sky Moore and Tony and some of these other young players. But I do think that he should be further along. And I think it's fair. He's a first round pick. The opportunity has been thrust on him this year. And he's 10th in the league among rookie pass catchers right now in yardage, catches. Like, it just hasn't come as quickly despite the opportunity. Is that fair or is that unfair? I think it's slower than it should be, but I'm not like out on the player. I think his upside is tremendous and I think he'll be really good. I just think it's fair to say he should be further along in this rookie season.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, Jacob. I feel like you want to see improvement every week and you want to see the biggest mistakes disappear first. And so, you know, I think from a rookie standpoint, they're not feeding him so much that he can't, you know, digest this. And so I feel like they're bringing him along. I just feel like he's got some bad habits that in college speed overcame, you know, and he's got to now realize, okay, I got to get rid of those bad habits and use my speed for speed's sake, not for, you know, compensation of a lack of mechanics. And hopefully, you know, Connor Embry, the wide receivers coach, they'll continue to work with him. But I kind of want to see those incremental changes, and I don't think we're seeing those. So it kind of feels right. I think you're being too hard on him? No. Because the expectations of this league, the man's making $1 million a year plus. So the expectations of this league are what they are. And you have to learn quickly or you become a Sky Moore. End up relegated to special teams or possibly the practice squad. So, no, I think the expectations for a first rounder should be high.
Especially when we see, you know, the expectation that Rashi Rice set last year. I mean, yeah. That's a hard brunt. But, you know, I think 2 plays over 20 yards this year. It's just that play at the beginning of the game is what bugged me. Like, you can't miss those opportunities because that turned into 0 points and we had a game go to overtime.
Right.
And like in, you know, in that game in week 9 of the NFL season, is that big of a deal for the Chiefs this year? Probably not, but it is in the postseason. And, you know, if we don't see that corrected, then that's just one less thing I think they have in the offense. But the good news is apparently DeAndre Hopkins still has that in the tank as well. I think the pressure's lessened. Defensively, I don't know. Was that their worst defensive game of the year? I think it probably was. It wasn't a ton of yards for Tampa, but the defense didn't make the stops they've been making all year. And look, we're nitpicking. Chiefs are 8-0. But, you know, I thought even in that game, 24 points probably could have been more. What did you think of the defense last night?
I thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a very good plan of letting our aggressiveness work against us. You know, they let us get upfield, sometimes way upfield, and then they just run the ball or throw the ball, you know, to those underneath routes. And they did make adjustments. The one thing I will say about the defense, they had to defend the short field 3 times under 50 yards. That's not easy. Yeah. And then again, in the end of the game, man, you know, third quarter was definitely a leak in ship. But the fourth quarter and overtime, well, they didn't get the field in overtime. But, you know, the end of the game, I felt like they made the stops when they needed to make the stops. Even though they let the Buccaneers score, they forced them to burn a lot of time. But I do think maybe, yes, to your point, the worst performance of the year, probably. Was it a horrible performance? Not necessarily, but Jeff, definitely not kind of up to the snuff that we've seen in these previous games.
Yeah, I mean, it was only 284 yards of offense. I think the short field, to your point, is probably the reason for that. But I also think it's important to point out that Tampa's missing its top 2 weapons on offense.
Yeah.
So, you know, so just things to pay attention to, only because the rest of the league, Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, joining us, are all trying to get better too. And we see the, you know, the Lions finally go get the guy everyone thought they would, and Za'Darius Smith, to try and offset the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. There's a lot of people putting them at number 1 in the power rankings. I totally get it. I understand it. I wouldn't do it, but I get it. They look really good. The Bills are coming right along. I think things are happening. So it is okay to nitpick. The Chiefs, Dan, I don't think the Chiefs are ever going to be in any danger, real danger of home field, because they have so many games on the field now.
Yeah.
Right? They have had so many fortunate things happen to this unbeaten start. So as we look at them, I mean, aren't we just tinkering now, thinking about the postseason? Like, aren't we just looking at the little things now and projecting those out to what that looks like in January?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we always talk about the margin of error as we close into the season, where you've really got, you know, how what's your lead on another team in your conference, and what do we got to do to get that first seed? Chiefs got off to a great September here, man, a great October. And so they're in a position. Now, I think it's interesting. I think you'll see starting this week, if they beat Denver next week, you'll definitely see it, because at 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, the discussion becomes all about being undefeated. But here's what I can tell you about that. I've never heard anyone on the team talk about that being a goal. So they will rest players, I believe, in weeks 14, 15, 16, 17, if they can. So, and not just rest players. I think it's important to realize that you're not only putting wear and tear on players when you play them each week, but you're exposing them to risk. And the way the Chiefs, I mean, it feels like we're losing a player a week. Jared Wiley out for the season now as well. So I really think that, you know, if you see these guys go 14-0, they're gonna rest the remainder of December and just kind of coast into the playoffs and be in a position where they can make a run for this three-peat. I think that's their goal. I don't think it will shift to an undefeated, despite what fans may want. I think they were just fortunate that right now we sit 8-0.
Good fortune is good fortune. They'll play Buffalo. Rick points out that they're only two games up on Buffalo, and I get that, but they play Buffalo. You know, so that becomes, you know, the magnifying glass on that. But the, you know, the Chiefs, if you look at the schedule and we're being honest, right? Carolina, Vegas, Cleveland. We'll see what people think about Denver. Denver's, they're better than we thought, but I think their schedule is fortuitous for them to have that home field. So we'll see. What did you think of left tackle last night? Because that's what we're all watching. That's the unsolvable thing. It's going to be these two guys. They're going to have to just be better. What'd you think?
Yeah, you know, I think I said on the air yesterday, you know, are we being too harsh on Wanya Morris? You know, he's got 9 or 10 starts, and we expecting kind of like the question you were just asking about, right? Worthy, but yep. I felt like they had a really good performance last night. And you know, the one thing I thought, in talking with Coach Reed after the game, he acknowledged that they stopped running the football in the first half and the third quarter. And he said that was a mistake. And in the fourth quarter, they went back to the ground game. Yes. Yes. This offensive line is very good at that. And so I feel like, you know, we just need to shift to that run to pass the ball and from pass to run the ball. And I feel it. You know, they do that. They're helping those tackle situations. They're putting those guys in good. And let's not overlook, too, some of the guys that Wanya Morris has had to go up against, the Max Crosbys of the league. You know, it's been tough. It's been it's a gauntlet. It is what it is. This is the NFL. Yeah. And when you're the reigning champion, you get everyone's A game. And so, but I did think they did a great job last night. I felt like, you know, especially it was impressive and rewarding to see them cap off the game, to win the game with a rush right over the middle, 2 yards, doing what you do best. I thought that was kudos to them for pulling it off and getting the victory.
It is, but that left tackle, they're going to get most of the time the team's best pass rusher every time they step, especially in the postseason. Speaking of tackle, a right tackle, I'm sure you've seen it now that it appeared that Juwan Taylor got an early start on that play.
A little bit.
Like, why are we still doing that? Like, why? Like, come on. Like, yeah. It should have erased a really big play. Like, what are we doing here? I thought we were through that.
You get a little anxious when you're up there and everything's on the line, so to speak. This is what we hope the month of November and December are, is really the month of November. One of the things I'd point out to you, Jacob, if you look at the start of the season to where we are right now, we're the third least penalized team now. That's impressive. They have eliminated a lot of those penalties.
Yep.
And so if they can continue that effort, improving in November and then December, really settle in, pour cement around everything that they've been working towards, I think it sets them up for an ideal run in the playoffs. I know, look, we're halfway through the season and we're saying the playoffs are a sure deal. The percentages are high at this point, but I think our expectations should be high as well.
Oh, I do too. And The craziest thing about all of this to me, and I just shake my head, is that the Chiefs have not played like dominating football this year by any means. They have had plenty of opportunities to lose games. The fact that they haven't just feels like good fortune as much as anything else. Of course, having Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Andy Reid is the biggest factor in that. But I mean, this is the NFL. Like the fact that they haven't lost any of these games is wild. And I think what makes me laugh is, you know, by the postseason, they're going to have Pacheco back. Now teams can deal with Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Good luck.
Good luck with
they're,
that.
They're probably going to get, I mean, what, I don't know if we have an update on Rashi Rice, but the expectation is always that there's been an opportunity, if not for sure, Hollywood Brown. Like there are reinforcements coming for this team.
Charles Nuhu's not back yet either on the defensive side. Mike Dana, they're struggling to get him back on the fields. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster, you're right. They're not playing, Chiefs aren't playing full strength, and yet they're finding ways to win football games. And as they get healthier and as these guys start to recover, by the way, scary moment last night with Mahomes, wasn't it? I thought it was interesting. Mahomes said that it settled him down. He said, early in the game, I was bouncing out of the pocket and running right into their passing coverage. And he said, once I hurt my ankle, I didn't have my mobility to rely on. He says, I kind of settled down, stayed in the pocket, and it helped me. I thought that was an interesting observation from the guy who's out there. Not that you want him injured, and that those ankles, man, that boy, I hope he can walk later in life because those ankles have taken a beating. But
Gumby, it's the Gumby.
Yes, absolutely. Coach said he's got the loosest ankles of anybody he's known. But I feel like you're right. You know, as the Chiefs kind of return to full strength, this thing's only going to get better. It's only going to get more substantial. And that's exactly what needs to happen because the NFL, we know December and certainly in the playoffs, man, things tick up dramatically. I mean, you can't make the errors that we've made in some of these games and still win. And so they've got to eliminate those. And hopefully when they get some of these guys back, they get stronger and they get more dominant, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy to think that they could get better, but they definitely can. Like this team can play better than we've seen it play, and they're 8-0. I think that's what it is for me. And maybe people are just tired of it. But at the same time, they're far from unbeatable. Right. You remember when the Patriots went unbeaten in the regular season? That team felt like they were just killing it. And I'd have to go back and look, but it felt like they killed everybody every week.
Yeah.
And just were so much better. It hasn't felt like that for the Chiefs. And I don't think it will either. Like the margins are razor thin, but it doesn't matter as much anymore because they've jumped out to the 8-0 start.
No, I mean, this was an overtime victory, you know, I mean, right. We didn't sew this thing up in the first half and I don't think any of these games, they've all been close late in the game. And so maybe one, I think maybe the Saints game wasn't close in the end, but gosh, you know, I mean, when you look at this thing and you look at the one thing I'll say, you know, everybody kind of gives you their A game because they feel like that makes a statement. If you can beat the world champions, well, that's the way the Super Bowl is going to be too, you know, and right now it looks like maybe a Detroit, Kansas City Super Bowl, that is not going to be easy. I don't know how we stack up against the NFC because you don't play them enough, but man, the Detroit Lions, they looked unbeatable the past couple of weeks. I mean, they trounced a good Vikings team, you know, and last week they looked good as well. And so I think the focus of these Chiefs where they're really staying week to week is one of the keys to their success. They're not getting caught up in what, you know, week 16, 17 are going to be yet. And hopefully the pressure, because I've been through this before with the undefeated, man, the pressure starts to stack on you at 8-0, 9-0, 10-0. That's unusually good. You know, a lot of teams can go 5-0. A lot of teams can go 6-0, maybe even 7-0. But 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, 11-0, that's a serious run. And again, not that they're internally talking about being undefeated as any kind of goal for the season. But the reality of it is that pressure's on you. So at some point, they're going to have to figure out how to combat that as well as getting someone's A game.
I haven't thought about it. I mean, I'm not even – and maybe it's because the margins have been so thin. Speaking of, it's a short week now, early window, which the Chiefs rarely get. Denver at home, a lot of dangers there, certainly. Denver's – better than we thought. We'll just put it that way. They're better than we thought.
They're better than their record, even, I think, a little bit, you know.
But their defense. It's a dangerous game, short week at home in an early window like that.
I'm glad we have them in Arrowhead. I think Denver's defense is really good. I know last week was kind of an anomaly, kind of the same for us this week with Tampa Bay. But, you know, I would hate to be Bo Nix going up against the Steve Spagnuolo defense, man. I mean, your learning curve is already intense. And I think one of the things that people don't quite, maybe fans don't quite understand about this game, it's a little like when you were in college, you're taking a final exam every week. You were cramming on Tuesday. Then you're studying overnight to go out and kind of walk through it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then, man, you take the final exam on Sunday. And that happens week after week. Well, week one, week two, week three, you kind of pushing through that. And it's like, wow, this is getting tiring. Week four, week five, week six, you're like, wow, this is exhausting. Week seven, you get my drift. It just doesn't stop. This goes on for 17 weeks in the National Football League. And when you're a young player who hasn't played 17 weeks, who's come from a college, you know, where you don't play 17 full weeks and you don't play 6 months of football. There's just a lot to overcome here. And then you go up against a genius like Steve Spagnuolo and the looks and the pressures he's going to get. I expect a lot out of the defense this week. That's for sure.
Yeah, Vegas does too. Only 41.5 is the number on that. Chiefs are 8-point favorites in that game. We will hear it right here on the Odyssey family over on KNSS as always, Dan. Really appreciate it. 8-0.
I'm not giving it back. I know that.
All right. Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network. Thanks, Dan. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
If you missed any of that, if you joined us late, you can always go back and listen on the Odyssey app. So do that. We're going to come back. Tommy's going to rejoin. We'll get more into KU. We didn't spend a ton of time with KU, and we'll look at K-State starting their basketball season tonight as well. It's all coming for you. It's Sports Daily. Dalbart and Castor. Don't go away.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Castor, Jacob Albrecht. If you missed anything from the Dan Israel conversation, you can always go back and listen to it on the free Odyssey app. I missed that interview, Jacob, so I'm going to have to go back and listen to it on the free Odyssey app. I would imagine, coming off of a Monday Night Football walk-off win and a short week ahead, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, we talked about it before. You just got to keep your head down and keep going. It's one of the few noon games on a Sunday that we're going to get against the Broncos.
Yeah, that's a dangerous game for 1,000 reasons, I think. I think everybody. Yeah, look, Dan, we went through it, and he's kind of, I think, with us, just, you know, kind of tinkering, looking what translates to January. You know, they've got a nice lead in the AFC. He brought up that he hasn't heard, and I haven't even really thought about it either, honestly, of an unbeaten season. He doesn't think at this point they really care about that. I mean, we'll see if this drags on. I just don't think it will because of how close some of these margins have been. But who knows down the stretch? I did ask him about Worthy. He said he thinks it's okay to be critical at this point, but not like down on the player or anything like that. But he thinks he should be further along as well. I am interested. You know, he's going to have a big opportunity in the Broncos game, Tommy, because probably if Sertan's healthy, he's going to shadow D-Hop at this point, don't you think? And he's as good in football as there is at that. Maybe this is the chance for Worthy to get out there and show his stuff a little bit. And we'll see. Juju Smith-Schuster, I think there's a chance he could play this week too. So that'll be an interesting matchup. We'll get into all of that later in the week. Let's go back to KU. We talked at Wichita State at length in the first hour. If you missed any of that, Shocker fans, go back and find it on the Odyssey app. We didn't get a chance to really dig in on KU. I think that, look, I loved all the moves they made. To your point, Bill Self attacked the problems that they had last year. Some of those were self-inflicted. Some of those, I think they just missed on players. They have an abundance of players now. I don't know how much we're going to see Rakese Passmore and Zach Clements factor in, But I think everybody else probably does to a pretty large degree, and that's eight, right? Eight, nine, I think, is very much on the table, a deeper team maybe. But what's interesting about having a deeper team, Tommy, is you got to think that DeJuan Harris, KJ Adams, and Hunter Dickinson are going to play extended minutes. So if they're, you know, if they are as deep as we think they are, I wonder how that minute share works, right? Because not everybody's going to rotate into just like two spots. It's going to probably mean less minutes for KJ Adams. Probably not Hunter Dickinson. Maybe not DeJuan Harris, but somebody's going to have to give up those minutes if they're going that deep.
I think it's going to be KJ Adams. I mean, out of the three, if you've got to, you know, select somebody to give up minutes,
be more than that.
It'll probably be KJ Adams, and that's not a knock on Adams at
no,
all. It's
no,
just
no,
a reality,
no.
You know, the situation and having all of that talent. But that's a good problem to have. It's a luxury, I think, you know, to be able to have that depth as opposed to like feeling like they did a year ago.
Last year, you couldn't
take those guys out of the game because the drop off was so severe. I mean, like they were playing Parker Brown. Like Parker Brown got extended minutes in games because they just didn't have anybody else. And you know, Parker ain't his brother Christian. Like, I mean,
it was
the reality of the situation. They
yeah.
didn't have any other choice. You know, they didn't want to have to trot out Nick Timberlake for extended minutes, but they had to. They didn't have a choice. So they've got a luxury now by having the bodies where there's not that severe, at least I don't think so, drop off from starter to bench player, which is nice. But yeah, you do have to figure out the distribution of minutes a little bit. And it could be matchup dependent. It could be, you know, dependent on the opposition. It could also be dependent on in game, you know, what the other team is showing you and what their rotation and lineup looks like. It could be a night by night, you know, kind of situation. So I do think that out of the three, it's probably KJ. I would be interested to know what, you know, and I don't know if we'll see it frequently or hardly at all, but what a rotation looks like that potentially has both Hunter Dickinson and Flory Badunga on the floor at the same time. You know, and how does the spacing work and how are they able to, you know, maneuver both of those guys to make it effective? Or is that something that, you know, more often than not, we're not going to see? So I think that kind of plays into a little bit too. You know, so I mean, it's kind of an abundance of riches. You got to figure out the best way to distribute that out.
I think, look, last year you had an Artario Morris problem. You had a Kevin McCullough injury problem. And you had a Nick Timberlake not being the caliber of player they had hoped. And unfairly being called upon to be more than they hoped, right? It all sort of piled up. But if you think about those three things contributing to the depth issue now, I think so this year for me, I'm like, okay, well, what if three things happen, right? What if three things happen to challenge this depth this year? Would they still be in a better position than they were a year ago? And I think the answer is pretty clearly yes. It's going to be interesting, though, if AJ Store, and not as much Badunga because, you know, because he's young, but Zeke Mayo and Store and Griffin and Coit, they're all going to need minutes. Like you've got to have those guys in the game. I think KJ Adams is his best version when he is not playing every minute of every game, when he can come on. I honestly think, like, from the athleticism we see from Badunga, he looks right now like he's going to force his way onto the floor. I think you almost just have some combination of two of Badunga, Adams, Dickinson most of the time on the floor together. And that part probably works itself out pretty well. The guard distribution, you know, I guess the question for me is DeJuan Harris, is Bill Self ever taking him off the floor? Because historically the answer to that is no, like never. Is this year that happens? That's the part that gets really interesting to me. I don't even know what I think about that. Last night wasn't the good indicator because it was against Howard and everybody just sort of played. But how does Harris's role change? with some of these other guys? I guess that's my biggest question at this point.
Well, I think the question becomes, you know, who can handle the ball? You know, who's going to be that guy, you know, that can be able to, you know, distribute and facilitate and, you know, all of those things. This guy wasn't a point guard, but the news came down yesterday that Jamari McDowell is going to redshirt this season. Yep. You know, so that does, you know, play into, I think, overall, because you're talking about a guard. And so there's one less guard fighting for those minutes. You know, Shaquille Moore, I think, is somebody that you've got to keep an eye on a little bit, because he didn't play in the game last night due to injury. You know, he's somebody that, you know, potentially could be in that role a little bit, but I don't think he'll be really the main ball handler when Harris is on the bench. You're probably looking at Coit, I would imagine. Like, how good of a ball handler is Coit? And do you feel like, regardless of the offensive prowess, regardless of the way that, you know, these guys shoot the basketball, what do they bring to the table? And is there a drop-off in the way that they're facilitating? Do they turn the ball over too much if they're a ball handler? Because that's one thing that DeJuan Harris, you know, has always been pretty solid at, is, you know, being able to facilitate in a high way without really turning the ball over at a high clip. On the flip side, we also know how much of a value and a premium Bill Self places on defense from his guards, right? And so, you know, that's why, going back a few years, that's why Marcus Garrett, who was never a prolific offensive player, got the playing time he got, because Bill Self trusted him defensively and put the ball in Garrett's hands to be the ball handler, even though he wasn't a guy that could create his own offense and get to the bucket and score at a high clip. That's, you know, one of the things that he values a ton. So if he's got questions about that from any of these reserve guards, as far as not even necessarily their ball handling, but from their defense, then I would suspect that we'll see DeJuan Harris again playing extended minutes and not really getting much time off.
And that's what I would guess too. I would guess he doesn't either. And so that creates, now basically we have two spots here, and there's a whole bunch of guys that can fill those two spots. My guess is, who's going to play the best defense, right? Like, who's going to help it? Because the offense is going to facilitate through Hunter Dickinson. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't know why you wouldn't start there. And I think Bill Self will, when he's had great centers. That's always what he's done. He started there. He started with his centers and sort of worked its way out. And we know they have shooters now on this team. So I think for me, it's like, who steps up and becomes the Kevin McCullough caliber defender, right? When he's healthy, obviously. Who steps up and can make this just an unbelievable defense? I think that's probably who we see get the extended minutes out of the other group of, what is it, five players that we're talking about here? Because there's a ton of them. It's been Coit early on. I did not see that.
Yeah,
coming.
I think it Maybe probably will be. I think that's kind of who, you know, you'll want to lean into that role about, because I don't think that it's Rylan Griffin. I mean, that's an area of his game when he was with Alabama that he was not good at. He was not a good defender.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be him, and he's going to play that wing role, you know? So like, I don't imagine that he'll be somebody that can lean into that part of his game like Kevin McCullough was able to do. AJ Storr may be off the bench, but he's, again, more of an offensive weapon coming off the bench. I think it's probably going to be Coit.
I did not see, I hadn't, and this is probably shame on me, you would know this, but I didn't have Coit like penciled in as one of the, you know, regular starting five when this offseason happened.
Nobody did.
I totally, like, he was
the last guy to be added to the roster, you know, so he's only been with the team for a short period of time. But again, it's another, you know, offensive weapon that Bill Self will have. The other thing too, and one player that I know we talked about, but not in this context, when we're talking about who could potentially, step in for DeJuan Harris if Harris has to take time off and sit on the bench or whatever. I mean, look for Zeke Mayo also to be somebody that can just slide over and run the point from the two to the one.
I don't know how much of that he did. Do you remember at South Dakota? I mean, we saw him a couple of times, and now I can't. I mean, what we remember about him is his scoring, obviously. But yeah, I think he can run the point if he needs to.
Yeah.
But it's probably a Dickinson and Harris playing the majority of minutes in a game. I hope they can sort of preserve, you don't worry about this with Harris, but I hope you can sort of keep Dickinson fresh, right, throughout by rotating him out a little bit more early in the year. And I think they will be able to do that to some degree. But as you go into this North Carolina game, and I haven't seen the Tar Heels, I haven't kept up with them a ton. We just know they're always going to be good. I think you feel great if you're a KU fan about the way this is shaping up, even with a loss to Arkansas in the preseason. I just think like roles and what you want to see out of certain players, I think you feel pretty good about it. So they beat Howard. We'll get the real test for them this weekend. But all in all, I think, absolutely deserving of the number one team in the nation right now and all that. The depth is going to be tremendous. And it looks like it's going to be a special year. And we hope it is, because guess what that means? It means they play in Wichita in March Madness. And that's what we really want to see happen. Can they be joined perhaps by another team like K-State? Could K-State get a little scheduling advantage? They open their season tonight. We'll talk about the Cats when we return. Let's give away some HTO on the way out. You want to get a free iced tea, sweet or unsweet, featuring the seasonal peach cobbler, or free iced or hot coffee drink featuring the new holiday favorite, peppermint mocha. Those things are flying off the shelves. You can get them at HTO right now by texting the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. Good luck, everybody. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Don't go anywhere. We'll preview the Cats season opener next on Sports Daily.
Fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-583-5795. That's 800-583-5795. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Just saw the Cowboys traded a fourth rounder, Tommy, for Jonathan Mingo.
Good luck to them. That's gonna get them from 3 wins to 4 wins at the end of the season.
That's not even what makes me laugh. I mean, he's a young player, but he's got some upside. But a fourth rounder, that's equivalent to some of the big names, essentially, we've seen traded on the wide receiver market. And they use it to go get Jonathan Mingo. Good job. Good job, Cowboys. It is spiraling out of control. Cowboys fans by the end of the year are going to get what they wanted. They should have just had it 2 years ago. All right. K-State tonight, Tommy. I'm excited about K-State. I'm not really this game. Like, I'm excited to see them play for the first time, though. I'm excited to take a swing at how good we think this team might be this year. I love the talent. I think it's underrated. I think their offseason is underrated. And I definitely think they have a chance to be top half of the Big 12, top five if all goes well for them. I really like the collection. And it's not even just the collection. I like how it all fits together, seemingly on paper, right? Like, that's the part for me. If they can get point guard secured and be good at that position, everything else does seem to fit really well together for Jerome Tang.
What I really hope from the Wildcats this year, and I think that with the talent that they've acquired in the offseason and through the portal and everything, is that I hope that they're able to have this collection of talent, win games, and fly a little bit under the radar. Yeah. And because last year was so dramatic, there was just wild swings of positives and negatives and just a roller coaster of emotion. And in a lot of cases, it was because of things that happened off the court that had nothing to do with the games that were actually being played. But there was all of the drama with the president and Jerome Tang and, all these different things that were happening throughout the year and speculation that Tang was on his way out and was going to go somewhere else. I just want the collection of talent. They landed Coleman Hawkins. That's a prized get for them through the transfer portal. Brendan Housen, if he can keep up his shooting and, do what he did at Villanova and continue it on at Kansas State, then you know, they can win, they can compete in the Big 12, and I just want it to be just a calm season for them. That's something that they didn't have a season ago, and that's what they need this year.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I was just going to say, I don't think you'll find it in game one. I just looked. If you can get Housen threes early in the year and it's anything over like two, take them, because I do think we saw something. That's what he does, and that's why I thought his – and I'm biased to it. He's from my hometown, so I really want him to be awesome. But that's what he is and what he does, and he didn't do it as much at Villanova. When they brought him in, it's such a clear need for the team. And I would just – you know, he took 14 threes in that exhibition game, and Jerome Tang was asked about it, and he was totally fine with it. He was like, yeah, that sounds good to me. Like, so just – watch that as a prop early. You're not going to get it tonight. You don't get much tonight on player props until the season goes. But they have a lot of pieces that make a lot of sense together. And, you know, Jerome Tang now has probably the opportunity for the most accurate representation of his chops, right? That first year, everything was perfect, right? Everything was perfect. And then last year, everything sort of fell apart. And this year has felt, like you said, calm, right? He's had a really nice recruiting class. They come in and everything is just like, there's none of the other stuff. So I'm with you on that. Excuse me. I'm really just excited to see them play together. They play tonight. Coverage begins at 6:00. They're at home. It's New Orleans. You know, we expect them to be really good in the game, but I'm excited for them. I'm excited for Wildcat basketball. Get them back in the tournament.
It's important for them to, you know, really be able to accentuate the stars that they've been able to bring in. And I'll call Coleman Hawkins a star. I mean, he was somebody that was so, you know, it was so important for the Wildcats to land because they needed that playmaker. They needed somebody that could be the guy they get the ball to and can go and create and get a bucket when they need a bucket. And that was really honestly, I think, what the expectation had been all along for a guy like Arthur Kaluma. And it panned out at times, didn't pan out consistently when Kaluma was in a Kansas State jersey. They're expecting that from Coleman Hawkins. And I think that from what we were able to see from Hawkins in his time at Illinois, I think that he can deliver on that more consistently than, you know, maybe some of the other players that had worn a Wildcat jersey over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a good group. I'm they're gonna beat their expectation. I'm making that call. They'll finish. What did they get picked? 7th, I think. They'll be better than that. 7th, 8th. They'll be better than that. Will they be top 5? I don't know yet. But I do think they're back in the tournament this year. I think that, you know, we'll see it play out tonight. But you know, we just a fast and furious opening to the college basketball season with 2 games last night, 1 tonight. Everybody plays, you know, another game this week. KU doesn't really play a good game, Tommy, until the 14th when they play LSU. I don't know what to make of LSU, but otherwise it's New Orleans and Cleveland State and Mississippi Valley State, and then they get a George Washington. It's going to be a while before they hit the meat of their schedule, and you don't need to in the Big 12, so it's not that big a deal. But, you know, I don't know what we're going to have to sort of stack them up against early on. So hopefully they have a lot of really comfortable, cozy wins and we can feel really good about it because they should have a bunch of those kinds of wins based on their early schedule. All right, we're going to come back. We'll tell you what else is on the network today. I want to tell you that Crestview Country Club has all kinds of stuff going right now in the fall, including the holidays, Thanksgiving brunches. They've got Thanksgiving meals to take home. Of course, golf, tennis, and all the other good stuff. But give Crestview a call. Ask them about all the different kinds of memberships they have. We appreciate their support of the program, and it never slows down, even when the weather turns cold. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network next.